recording now, damn it.
Okay. So we're going to find out what kind of computer Maddie's working on, but are you Googling what kind of?
No, I'm sending you a picture of it, but I was in airplane mode on my phone.
Why don't you just do ask the computer what it is?
Yeah.
Computer, what are you?
Nothing
happened.
All right.
It's the little Mac that's like a gray box.
The Mac Mini?
No, that's a laptop.
No, it's not.
Oh, then that's what I have.
You have a Mac Mini. The new Studio Pros are boxes like the Mac Mini, but they're great, and you won't have to worry about it.
Fine. I'll get a Mac Studio. Does any listener to P4P have $2,000 I can borrow?
I like the fact that we're starting the show right away because you're in a bad mood and you want to.
I am in a bad mood. I watched a pinwheel for the last 45 minutes. So, and then I was gonna talk to you first, and then introduce Dan all slick and go, "Welcome to season 6, episode 7."
It's not too late to introduce me all slick.
It's not at least to introduce him, our guest.
All right.
Our return guest.
Let's go. All right, here we go. Season 6, episode 7 of Rated P for Paranormal. We rate and review paranormal-themed films. I'm pissed off. That's Tony Arkin. And with us, the one, the only Puppy Bowl ref himself, friend of mine for, oh my God, Dan, are we going on 20 years?
Yeah, man. I don't know what you give for a 20-year anniversary. I think it's
a new computer.
That's it. It's silver, then gold, then bronze, and then a Mac Mini improved.
Oh, for those of you who've watched a pinwheel for long periods of time, I know you feel my pain. Welcome to the show. Of course, if you listened to last week, you know that Dan is our special guest. He's a return guest, our first return guest, which is a place of honor for you. And as the Puppy Bowl ref, whenever we have you on, we focused on animal-themed paranormal films, and no different this week, which we'll get to in a second. But Tony, I just wanted to update with you for a second and tell you that based on our discussion from last week, I attempted to watch the documentary. We challenged each other. You said, if you watch Tickle, the documentary, what did I tell you to watch?
Orion.
The Man Who Would Be King.
The Man Who Would Be King.
About Elvis. And I must tell you that I watched the documentary. Excuse me. I watched the trailer to the documentary for Tickle and got about 30 seconds in and said, no, I refuse to watch it until you answer me a question. Is it real or is it a mockumentary?
It was presented to me as a real documentary.
Okay, because there's a line in the trailer where he actually says there are tickle cells all over the city, and I said this is not. I'm going to go down this disturbing path of watching these adults tickle each other, and then find out it's a mockumentary, and then it'll be too late for me.
It's not a mockumentary. It's apparently a real true story. And that's not even as weird as it gets. So that's
I
what
can
I'm that's
tell. I don't know. I might not
no
be able to
stomach
do
for the rough stuff, man. You really don't. Dan, the movie called Tickled. It's a documentary about professional tickling.
I just Googled it as you were speaking, and it looks real and legit.
I think it's real, man. I think you're kind of excited about it, actually, and that's why you're resisting.
Guys, I want to take this
longest pause we've ever had on the show.
Good pause.
I hit the truth.
Tony, did you target Maddie on that? Like, did you suspect that he enjoys tickling?
You know, it's weird. It just occurred to me out of the blue. It must have been something that he said or some attitude I got from him. I thought he'd enjoy the movie. I don't know what it was.
I'm going to show you dudes how uninto tickling I am by tickling the shit out of you.
It says it's competitive tickling on the description.
Oh, so there is that too. There's that too. Yeah.
Damn right.
It's a wormhole movie. It gets worse and worse as it goes.
Oh, wow.
It starts mildly weird, and then it gets to be kind of terrifying.
This might be a good one for our spinoff podcast. One that I've been creating while I've
even cooler shit with Dan and Tony.
Yeah. Oh, I like that title. You know, Maddie being late might have been a blessing.
Just saying, we had a nice talk.
We had a nice talk.
We saw eye to eye on some things. We had, you know, we hadn't talked in a little while.
Yeah, it was a couple of key moments. Guys, I just, in all seriousness, I owe you a debt of gratitude for letting me on the first episode. And I mean this sincerely. Like, I am a true fan, whether I'm friends with you guys or not. It's been a pleasure watching you guys grow this show. And this is a true compliment. Take it as you will. The first podcast where I don't care if I've seen the movie or not.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's kind of, I'd just rather hear the banter. And then often I'm like, yeah, let's see the movie, because, you know, they had enough to say. And I've kind of, and you also do a nice job of balancing, walking the line between spoiling, but not spoiling. In other words, you're hinting, but you're not spoiling.
Okay. Well, that's cool, man. Thank you. Cause we never know. That's hard. That's a hard one to parse sometimes when we're talking about stuff, but Dan, thank you so much, man. That really means a lot.
My pleasure. And listen, and the best news of this is that, as you know, the first episode when we did Pet Sematary, I spun that off to my own podcast. It was episode one of, you know, we double dipped, right?
Yep, sure did.
And we, that became episode one of my podcast, where I review animal movies. It tested through the roof.
Oh.
Yeah. And we were greenlit. This is the big announcement I have for an episode two.
Wow.
Which is this one right now. So if you just would let me do an alternate intro. Is that all right? Maddie, you can cut this out. You're cool with it, right, guys?
Well, okay.
All right, cool. Welcome back to This Play is Under Review, the Puppy Bowl Ref Rate Stuff. Today's guests are returning paranormal experts and all around good guys, Tony Arkin and Marty Blake. Welcome back, fellas. What have you been up to lately? You don't have to answer that. Now, hang on, guys. I got to do a quick live read for the sponsors. You know, the pet product world is kind of crazy, and they've got some pretty specific things. So just bear with me. Again, Maddie, you can cut this one out, but I got to do this.
Understood.
Contractually required.
You love your dog, but his irritable bowel syndrome can be challenging. Well, you're not alone. Canine IBS, or KIBS, affects one of three dogs in their lifetime. The result of years of eating whatever scraps they find on your disgusting floors. Thankfully, there's Woofestra. This twice daily anal suppository is all your pooch needs to conquer KIBS. Woofestra should not be mixed with toilet water. Side effects may include sleepiness, blindness, and heart explosion. Ask your vet about Woofestra and start living the good life again.
All right, all set. Thanks, guys.
You two have quite the podcast going without me. I just checked the specs for the Mac Studio, and stabbing a host in the back is one of the top features, apparently. I've lost my podcast.
Maddie, you can guest anytime you want. We'd love to have you on as the third wheel.
I appreciate that.
I mean, did you hear Dan said thank you, though? He said that he thanked both of us for the opportunity. And he did say that without us, our original show, this couldn't have happened.
He also, you can cross that sponsor off the list. He's taken that from us. I was courting them. I was courting that dog diarrhea sponsor for a sponsor potential.
It's canine IBS, KIBS, canine. And it's a serious condition. I don't even know why we're laughing.
You're
right.
Sorry.
Wow.
Well, Dan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for letting me be a guest on this podcast.
My pleasure.
I've prepared a little something as part of being a guest in your podcast. I hope you're okay with it. I was thinking about talking about this movie, Monstrum.
Yeah, well, you guys are the paranormal experts, which is why I have you guys on. And I like what you guys bring to the table. So let's see how you do. Episode two. Here we go. What you got, Maddie?
Please tell me you have another live read in the can.
Do I have one more for cats?
we'll get to that.
Tony's a cat lover, so I had to.
Yes,
equal opportunities for cats and dogs. It's important. It's, you know, the new, well, the people we work for now, Maddie, have certain feelings about it that you'll be sending us that PDF, won't you, Dan, about the
what we can and can't
rules,
talk about
regulations.
They're more guidelines and talking points for social media, things we'd like you to respect, say, not say.
Okay.
You know, we refer to our pets as our children now. So that's the main one.
Well,
is that like Is that like a cancelable offense if we don't do that? I mean, how serious is that?
Well, from now on, you have a. How many cats do you have?
I have two. I have two cats.
63.
Two. So now two you cats, can call Maddie. Them. Yeah, you can call them the kids, and Maddie, you can call Rocky my son, and we'll be fine.
Can he call Max his son?
No, Max. Max, you know, Max at this point, he's nearly grown. I would just
consider him self-sufficient.
Really, does it matter? It doesn't really matter. I mean, he's a grown man.
You should be charging rent to Max. But, you know, but Brock
you should be friends with your kid now anyway, instead of, you know.
Yeah, just don't call him an animal, all right? He's more dignified than that. We're talking about Monstrum, which I have many thoughts on, and I'd love to hear yours. What you guys got?
Well, I have there's something I have to ask first before we start that. Mm-hmm. And I have one tiny thing in the junk drawer that I just wanted to mention.
Before we get to our movie?
Because something literally happened in the paper today.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Don't step on our host's toes, Tony. We're just guests here. Dan, is it okay if Tony does this thing he's brought to your podcast called The Junk Drawer, which sounds juvenile to me, but...
Once again, as long as the guidelines, Tony refers to his cats as his children, you know, we're good.
Oh yeah, definitely. Okay. Sure. Cool.
All right.
I'm just scared of what I can say, what I can't say. Just a little bit.
That's the problem. That's the problem once you start taking checks. Is that now we've got, you know, corporations watching us.
Trust me, it's not that big a problem. So drunk, if you don't mind, Dan, that we did a segment called Junk Drawer on
Love
the
to hear
show.
It. Is yeah, that, what you got?
Do we need to clear the jingle with the Dog Diarrhea people? Should I play it for you? Play it down the line first, see if they approve?
Let's play it. Yeah, let's see.
Get some approval. All right, here we go.
Now it's time for the stuff we didn't get to.
What a piece of junk.
P4P Junk Drawer.
That was great. I can't imagine they won't like that.
There's nothing. Wait for clearance.
There's nothing offensive to that. I didn't hear a dog bark in there, though. Did I? Was there a little squeal in there? Maybe a dog's tail.
I can insert one.
No. The opposite. I thought I heard a dog's tail being stepped on and a, you know, like that. Was that?
No, that was one of Tony's cats wailing, which he insists.
All right.
You mean kids?
He insists they're okay. The cat's like,
I take great care of my children. Please vocalize. Stop it.
Very good, Tony.
Thank you, Dan.
If
we have time, I just have this one little brief thing that I thought I'd mention because it is a paranormal related subject and it was in the paper today.
Sure.
Thank you, Dan. Okay, yeah. So in the New York Times article from Leslie Keene and Ralph Blumenthal stating this, House panel to hold public hearing on unexplained aerial sightings. A subcommittee to the House of the House Intelligence Committee will hear testimony next week from two Pentagon officials. And then the lead into the article says a House subcommittee is scheduled to hold next week the first open congressional hearing on unidentified aerial vehicles in more than half a century, with testimony from two top defense intelligence officials. The hearing comes after the release of last June of a report requested by Congress. That report we've talked about on the show before. The 9-page preliminary assessment from the official director of National Intelligence focused on 144 incidents dating back to 2004 and was able to explain only one. So that's coming up next week. Interested if we'll hear anything from that panel. Hope we do. But it's nice to see that Leslie Keene and Blumenthal are still putting the pressure on and getting these articles out in magazines like that.
So they're testifying, basically, this... Is that in front of a congressional panel? Is that what I'm hearing?
They're not Well, there's going to be a testimony from two top defense intelligence officials.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Was I not clear? Was that bad writing on their part? You can ask them.
That was crystal clear.
Okay, thank you.
I just want to parse our words very carefully because now we're getting paid.
I'm just quote. This is a New York Times quote. I don't know if that's we can quote the Times.
Yeah, ironically, often used on the floor to catch dog droppings.
Look, guys, while we were talking, I went ahead and forwarded the article to Wafestra, and there's no conflict whatsoever.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you.
Yeah, they're happy to be a part of this paranormal.
Appreciate it.
In fact, they like the angle.
So great. So go read your Boston paper and have a good time.
Boston has a newspaper? Yeah, they do.
I think they used to back in the 1800s.
Oh, like the Gazette. Yeah, like the Paul Revere Gazette.
Yeah.
Back during the, yeah.
Yeah. The Witch Burning Sunday Herald.
The Salem stuff, that's right.
Yeah.
That's the last time they printed anything. Yeah. Yeah.
Does Wolf Estrin know that I like host cable shows? Do you think they want to do a little time?
Oh, it's not a bad idea. Do you or Rocky have canine IBS? Because this could be a serious, this could be a nice tie-in.
Nothing saying that something can't accidents happen. That's all I'm saying.
Right. So let's make that happen, and then we'll piece together a human interest story on you guys.
I can work on that. I can work on that.
All right. Good. You read the side effects, right? I think I was clear about them. Sleepiness, blindness, and heart explosion.
Heart explosion, I heard. I definitely made note of.
All right.
Let's just say if those Wifestra checks clear, as your home studio indicates they do by the looks of it, because it looks very nice. That's a nice mic. Then Rocky Mappy getting a little something different in his dinner tonight.
taking one for the team. This is great.
All right. I'm done. Clearly that article was fascinating to all of you. I hope a listener or two out there got something out of it. I thought maybe being a,
you know, I'm jaded. I admit it. Maybe it's the computer pinwheeling that has made me grumpy, and it's carrying over into the thing, but based on the big report we waited for. And if you listen to this podcast, you know, we were all excited about it. And then it came out and it was a lot of nothing. And I'm just, now I'm even down on Leslie Keene a little bit. And as you know, she wrote my favorite book on the subject, but not down on her, but I'm wondering if she is part of this whole thing to just keep the ball rolling and keep it in the news and keep writing what we think are revealing articles about it. But all they're saying is that we can't say what they are. And they're probably, some of them might be real. Like what? Okay.
You know, I want you to go back in time, 30 years, to a younger Maddie, thinking about all the lies that the government said about the UFOs over the years, they're denying their existence and that there was no water on other planets and that it was impossible to do any of the things that you're reading about on a daily basis now. Isn't that some good news? Why have you got to be so negative about it? I mean, because that's a bottomless pit of negativity. Because in a way, and I'm going to be tough on you right now, that's almost the same stance as a skeptic stance, because there's no room. Where we go? Where do we go from there? You're just being negative. Now you don't want to hear from even me about this stuff. And I can't imagine this is just about Dan's taking over the show.
I like to think of it as a partnership, not taking over.
Sorry.
I'll tell you what else is
a strategic partnership. Go ahead, Maddie.
Bottomless pit of negativity, and that's canine diarrhea. But thanks to Wifestra, we now in this household have that pretty cleared up, and you can too. Just go to Wifestra.com and see for yourself.
Oh, wow. Tony, we're going to have to work on his live reads.
Is there can we edit? Maybe there's an edit we can do. I think maybe another read though.
I just don't think he can edit that on the Mac Mini.
You think that wheel's spinning now? Weirdly tries to edit some audio.
All right, should we get to our movie?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Just remember, at some point, we have to do the second live read. Again, contractually obligated. I'm not trying to take over the show. It's a strategic partnership. We will have to do the second live read. But I'm ready to talk about the monster.
I did say I had two things to bring up, and then we got negative. So my second thing to bring
go
up
ahead. Before I'm sorry, Tony. Go ahead.
Yes. No, I don't ever apologize. Don't ever apologize to me, Dan. My question was, this all kind of started, this episode anyway. I mean, you were going to come back to your own show, let's face it. But we didn't know when or how the circumstances would be. And apparently, you took umbrage with something that we did on a prior episode.
Good call.
And made some kind of a stink about it with Maddie. And he wouldn't tell me the details. So I don't know how this all started. What was the genesis of this?
I believe you're referring to the Bono Bono incident.
Ooh.
No. It was our film from last week. You agreed with one of us and said you had thoughts. I'll tell you exactly what it was.
Well, we didn't do an episode last week because you were out of town.
2 weeks ago, right.
No, there was an episode a couple of weeks back where Maddie mispronounced Bono as Bono.
That's true.
I remember that.
No. I didn't mispronounce it. That was a tie-in with a new animal product called Bono. If your dog's hungry and wants better mouth health, then get Bono. That's Bono.com. Bono.com.
Yeah. I'm grateful because I thought here's my opportunity to apologize to you, Dan, and thank you at the same time because I thought maybe something I had said that got you upset.
I'm sorry. I don't know what you're referring to. Could we clarify the where I took umbrage and what happened?
Umbrage might be a strong word. When you first texted me, you just said like, "Oh my God, I listened to last week's episode and I agreed." I just don't remember if it was agreed with me or him.
What was the film?
I believe it was In the Earth. Uh-huh. About the scientists, the scientists in the woods.
Yep.
And I can find your text, although this would be boring.
But this is that wheel spinning now on your phone? Because
it might be a while. It can take a while before it finds it. I'm going to pull it up too, because that nice thing about texting is now we have proof and documentation of everything we've put out there.
Here it is.
I got it.
Didn't affect me either. I agree with you on the movie.
Either.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So,
okay.
You know what?
Give us your mini review from
my mini review is I gave it a shot and I didn't finish it. So I am not qualified to completely discuss it and dissect it. However, it didn't grab me in the first half hour. And I had a feeling it wouldn't further. And then perhaps Maddie's opinion influenced my viewing. This is what I mean about I don't mind listening to you guys prior to seeing a movie. Sometimes it gives me an early review if I feel like my tastes are aligned with either one of you, which I think they are, you know, if Tony came out hating it, I would also be influenced by that.
Okay. That's what I was curious about because you said Maddie influenced me. I was wondering if I had ever influenced you or if.
Oh, absolutely. You're God, Tony, you're influencing me right now. I mean,
this is a great show. I love this show. This is such a great show.
I want to watch the movie Sender. I'm not sure why, but you're influencing me. Maybe it's because you're wearing a hat that says Sender on it. But
couldn't be possible. I don't think stuff works that way. I really think that's overblown. I don't think people like see something and then buy it.
I'm on with my heroes, and it's just a thrill. I don't want to upset anybody, you know. I regret sending the text.
Oh no! This is great for I think the discussion. I was curious if there was a particular movie that had spurred you on to be like I have to fight over this idea. But that wasn't the text. That wasn't the nature of the text. Maddie couldn't really find it when we talked. He just said that Dan was mad at me, we're gonna have it out on the show.
I mean, that's a little pushing it, like trying to stir the pot, wouldn't you say?
I'm a provocateur.
I mean, all I said was it didn't really affect me either, which means to say I streamed it for about a half an hour after listening to your podcast. And I was like, meh. That's my mini review. You're welcome.
That says it all.
So great. So this has gotten awkward. And maybe we should just move on to the Monstrum in that case.
If we did have an ad here, Dan, I'm not telling you how to do your show, but if we did have an ad here, Tony and I would put it in here and then go to the movie. This is exactly where I'd fit it in.
That's just a recommendation, though.
Oh, no, it's just a fact. I would never tell Dan how to do his podcast.
No, yeah, it's just a thought that he has.
Okay, here we go.
He can do it any which way.
You love your cat. Why deprive them of life's most intimate moments? Now, you don't have to. We've all heard of catnip. Now, there's catnipple, a prosthetic breast filled with liquid catnip, which, when attached directly to your chest like an ill-fitting bra, allows you to bond with your cat like never before. Catnipple. Ask for it by name.
Stop being such a pussy!
Can I tell you something? That's actually a real product.
It has to be.
we did a thing on my radio show called Real or Fake during Christmas time, and one of them was a suckle for pets, a suckle bib that had like nipples, like teats, and it was real.
Wow.
So there's a competitor.
Just wow.
You know.
Yo, Maddie, I you know how I've been doing the animal sounds at the end of the live reads? I realized doing it, you might be better at it, because I recall a podcast that mm-hmm. you and I were on, maybe it was Catherine Heller's years ago, mm-hmm. and there had to be the sound of a jaguar, I believe, or a cheetah.
Oh, yes, I can give it to you right now.
It was, Tony, his animal sounds are impeccable.
Well, you might notice I can also do ambulances and police sirens.
Yeah, I do apologize.
I'm throwing my voice right now just to give it a city sound effect. I don't know if you can tell.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's me. Oh yes, I remember the jaguar. You're right. I can, or the cheetah, or whatever.
Cheetah.
It was.
Yeah. Whenever you're ready, we'd love to hear the cheetah.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's a little bit lynx-like.
Yes.
Kind of more than cheetah, maybe, but I liked it.
Like a feminine cheetah. Like a more feminine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, scary. That cheetah just took a turn to the dark side. So wait, if we were just to do the last part of that line, catnip will ask for it by name. Could you do a meow?
Mm-hmm. Okay, right.
Maddie, hang on. I'm just going to rewind this last part. One mm-hmm. sec. Okay. I'm just going to edit this better. So your cue line is ask for it by name, and I want to hear a nice
hold
meow.
Hold on, I'm going to write that on my script. Ask for it by
ready?
Name. Okay, go.
You really need to write it down?
Okay, I'm an actor, Dan.
Catnip, ask for it by name.
Meow, Tony's not feeding me. Meow, help. We good? Are we good? Is that a clean one?
That was amazing.
Take? Okay.
In.
Ewan Gwym is a loyal subject and fighter for King Jung Jong. But Ewan unexpectedly has to do battle with a creature known as Monstrum. But is Monstrum real? We're going to learn the truth about Monstrum as Hyun also battles evil forces trying to stop King Jung Jong. This is the Dan Schachner Puppy Bowl Ref recommended Monstrum, a Korean film which has to do with an animal called Monstrum. And this, in fact, if I was going to categorize it in a paranormal sense, it's really kind of a cryptid film. Dan, did you know anything about Monstrum, or was this just a search for animal paranormal movies? How did we come up with this one?
Yeah, I do love all animal related things, as in no joke, I am contracted by Animal Planet. So from time to time, I've got to come up with animal puns, or Maddie knows this all too well, or just animal references. Let's say that.
Yes.
So anything animal pop culture. I also host a monthly trivia event where we do dog trivia, animal trivia. So useless animal facts or animals and pop culture facts are always in my mind. Monstrum, I knew this director because there was a movie he directed. I'm going to see if I get his name right. I'm going to butcher it, but God, forgive me, sir. Hugh John Ho. He directed a movie in 2013 called The Host.
Hugh Klitsky.
Hugh Klitsky.
Go ahead.
That's okay. For those who don't know, Hugh Klitsky is a venerated casting director from our past at mm-hmm. our former agency, current agency, former, whatever. Doesn't really matter. The line is blurred.
Right.
I saw a movie is the point. I saw a movie he did called The Host. It's 2013 like movie where like Americans had spilled toxic chemicals in the Korean Sea and it created this like plague or monster. And I liked him. And then when I knew he had another movie called Monstrum, when I looked at it more carefully, I was like, oh, this creature sort of is an animal, sort of dog-like, could be a tie-in. Sent it to Maddie, and here we are.
Tony, had you know a lot of foreign film, you know a lot of South Korean films and filmmakers. Had you heard of Monstrum or seen it?
I had heard of it because I have the platform Shudder, which is a horror movie platform streaming service, and I think this is what they call an exclusive on Shudder. I think it's one of the places you can get it, or the only place you can get it right now. And I'd seen the posters for it. I had not seen it. And I don't mean to be nitpicky, but I don't know if you're correct about that director, Dan. I think you're thinking of Bong Joon-ho, mm-hmm. who did The Host and then went on to direct Parasite and other well-known films.
So what you're saying is that I'm just conflating all of my Korean directors.
I didn't mean to do it on your show, on your own show. But
our sponsors are going to like this.
Again, it's all editable, all completely editable.
Don't correct the host.
And I wouldn't have opted to do this for any other reason except to point out that I think that what's interesting about Monstrum is that it's actually, I think, this guy's first film and maybe his only feature up till now.
Can I tell you something to make Dan possibly feel better? Is that when I saw his name, which is so close to Bong Joon-ho, I went, oh my God, this could be an early, I figured it was an early film of Bong Joon-ho. So I felt for kind of the same thing. And I was like, because I loved, as Tony knows, Parasite so much. So for a half a second, I went, oh my God, is this his movie? And then I realized it wasn't.
So this guy was a first time. Yeah, I'm pulling it up now. Apologies.
His name's very close to that.
He was a first time. You said first time director?
Well, I'm looking at the stats for it right now on IMDb. Yeah. And the director, Zhang Ho He. I know I'm not pronouncing. I'm not going to pronounce these names okay at all, and I apologize for that. But it looks like he has directed three movies. This is his third.
Okay. So we're both wrong is what you're saying, Tony.
Yeah. Well, I mean, compared to Bong Joon-ho, this guy's directed no movies.
Well, look, don't feel bad, because if a South Korean who doesn't speak English watched a movie directed by John Smith Brown and it was really, you know, John Brown Jones, they might conflate those names too. You know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But if, for instance, that happened on a show about movies, they might just note that it was wrong.
100, and I'm glad.
Hey, it's not our show.
Right. Luckily. And I'm glad you corrected me.
I feel kind of crappy about having to do it, but I just felt it was it would have set us off on a weird course, because then we would have been like,
Dan, hold on one second. I'm gonna put you on mute, okay, so you can't hear us. Man, he's very talented, but his podcast has all kinds of mistakes, Tony. We would never make that mistake. He didn't even know
I think that you know, it's the second show, it's sophomore slump. Let him do his job.
Should we let him like still host?
Just let him do his job. Let him get through this and do his job.
Because we've already established I have a crappy computer. I could just say we dropped the call and just continue by ourselves.
Give him the shot. Give him the chance. Plus, we don't know the rules. The company may have different. We'll edit this stuff out that we don't want. Let's just get back to the show.
Perfect. All right. Hold on. When my thing says mute, does that mean he can hear us? Oh shit!
Get a new computer.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, man. Hang on. I'm getting a call. It's the guy's a cat nipple. What's up? Yeah. Oh, I'm glad you've been listening in. I'm sorry. Who should go? The guy with the freaky sender hat? Okay. I think I know who that is. And can I give him any reason or no? No reason. Okay. You got it. And Maddie's on thin ice. I will pass along the message. All right. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Well, how's he? It's a bit of a surprise. How I got booted before him is... It's astounding. Do you want to just finish the show? Do Monstrum? Let's get on with it. Do it.
I don't know. There's so many mistakes.
I knew it. Listen, let's
Hold
just
on.
Establish...
Dan, I gotta put Tony, I gotta put you on mute for 1 second, okay, and just talk to Danny.
Go ahead.
Just okay. Hey buddy. Yeah. Just between you and me, Tony makes those kind of mistakes all the time. So if we could split the revenue.
I think he's like one of those film expert like geniuses.
He's way smarter than me, but he's like anti-corporate, so he's not going to ride the line. Like, I'll do anything these people want. I will
feel like he knows
soul.
We have sponsors now, so he's deciding to tweak everybody, right?
I'm just saying, if there's revenue to be had, let's send it my way.
Yeah.
And Tony doesn't need to know nothing.
We can just tell him that the funds haven't come in yet. Let's so every time on. He asks for his check, oh, we're still waiting.
He's looking angry. Got to put it back on.
Okay.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah?
Welcome back to the show.
Okay. Technical problem?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Technical problem.
You just clean slate.
Let's move on. So, let's talk Monstrum. Let's not let advertisers divide us. Let's move on like we always do. Tony, initial thoughts of Monstrum. I mean, I define this paranormally as a cryptid movie, because I think that's where Sparkles, i.e. Monstrum, which we will get into.
Great name.
Yeah, Sparkles becomes Monstrum, and we learn that backstory. So I think in terms of that, it's a cryptid story, but it's also a martial arts movie. It's a romance. It's kind of a Western, if you will, in the spirit of Seven Samurai. It's a lot of things. So is it a lot of good things in your mind, or is it a lot of jumbled things?
Me? Good things. I had a blast. I was not expecting to like it as much as I did. I thought I was going to dig it, and I do love a lot of, you know, South Korean genre movies, but some of them can get a little bit. This is a long movie too. This is over
Yes.
2 hours, and they can get a little bit bogged down sometimes in histories that you don't understand.
Yes.
I thought this was super clear, unbelievably well paced, incredibly well made and shot, and I gotta say, like, performance wise, I just thought everybody in it was just unique and surprisingly good. I had a blast.
That is so good to hear. Our host, Dan, what about you, Monstrum?
Same. Honestly, I loved it. I loved it. And I, you know, recommending it to you, Maddie, I just, again, I knew it was animal related. I knew that the creature, from what I saw in the little stills, sort of looks like a dog, sort of a freakish pug. And I was like, maybe this will work. It was entertaining. And the fact that it blended the genres made it all the better. I find that that's the trend now in most quality shows, whether it's TV or movies. It blends a little bit of the comedy with the action, with the horror, with the romance. And Tony, I don't mean to correct you here, but you did say, I believe, that it was a long movie, over 2 hours. But
Is it just over?
no, it's actually very short. It's 1 hour and 5 minutes.
Really?
So, you know, I just like to take this opportunity on behalf of me and the sponsors to point out that, you know, we all make mistakes
An
from time
hour?
to
Where did I? How did I? How was
time.
the movie longer for me?
Mine said 1:45, I think, because I checked, because I was like, ooh, I gotta hurry up and watch this thing.
I got a running time here. I'll send you
Did we have
my what
different cuts?
maybe. Oh, maybe.
We might have different cuts. So, Tony, here's the thing. I was
Maybe.
going to say this earlier, but I thought it was extremely boring, and I didn't want to derail Dan's podcast. That I actually found out I have Shudder as part of my it
Oh.
when I got it on Prime, it goes, this is free for you because of your Prime Shudder
Oh.
deal that I have, I guess. I didn't even know I have Shudder. So you and I might have watched a different cut than Dan.
Yeah.
It's
Mine was an hour and
possible.
mine was an hour and 5 minutes, no joke.
You're
Wow.
kidding me.
I'm not kidding you.
Really?
I'm sending you the
Interesting.
link right now.
I would like to see it at 1 hour 5 because
that's
well, no,
really strange. That's so much shorter. I mean,
that's a lot shorter.
that's like half the film I saw.
I've just texted you a little screenshot
Amazing.
of the situation. Yeah.
Maybe
Yeah.
they time. Could it be? No, because credits don't last 20 minutes.
Were you about to say that the time in Korea is different, Maddie?
It is they're ahead by like a day.
Yeah, so that's it. We've solved it.
105 minutes.
Look, check your text. Just sent it along.
Okay.
And honestly, and when I pulled it up on Prime, mine was on Prime. I rented it.
Yeah.
Did you guys? But Maddie didn't rent it, and you didn't rent it. I'm
Free.
guessing.
Free with Shutter.
Yeah.
Shudder, yeah, it's part of the Shudder
Which I didn't know I had
package.
until
All
this
right. Well,
week.
so I was completely mistaken. It was late. I was incredibly drunk,
No,
and I don't really remember the movie very
no,
well.
but seriously, maybe there are two versions. There's a director's cut or a longer cut. Who knows? So,
Yeah. So you're right. I don't know. We have to get to the bottom of that. That's strange.
it would be funny if we got halfway through the review and then we realized we watched three different movies. So basically, like I said in the intro, Jun Gyum, and again, forgive me for pronunciation, is a warrior soldier for a king, Jung Jong. We get a backstory, we get a mythology, we get a history set against a backdrop of a community being terrorized by this monstrum. Is it real? Is it not? We don't know till probably a quarter way through the movie. And then we start to find out that indeed it may be real and not just a legend. I think that kind of throws us too. I know for like maybe 20 minutes of this movie, I assume they're going down the direction of it's just a legend. And it's a movie about how evil men use war and psychological tactics and propaganda to create monsters to fund their wars and things like that. But then it goes, no, it's a literal mark, literal monster that once was named Sparkles, a cute little gremlin-like creature that was abandoned and forced to eat the bloated corpses of the king's enemies, and became this monstrum, this huge monster that also spreads a disease. So there's a lot of things going on here. And I think the film does a really good job of explaining the mythology, but not in a boring way. I mean, it seems like, and I hate to generalize, but it seems like a lot of the South Korean movies that I've seen consecutively start with some sort of lower third or history or mythology explaining a past. And so it took me a minute to kind of like, all right, you know, I got to do a better job. Let me say this. this movie made me realize I have to do a better job of watching what's presented to me and quieting my inner judgments. And that's one thing that doing this podcast has taught me, that not judgments like in terms of my thoughts on the world, judgments of the movie itself is what I mean. Like, oh, this is a that, or, oh, here they go. Here's the comic relief character. And, oh, here's, you know, I really need to watch what's being presented to me and quiet that voice, because this is the second week in a row I've watched a movie and those voices came up, and then all those kind of judgments were usurped and turned over, and it became something completely different than I thought it was. And I really enjoyed it. I loved this movie.
Me too.
And this is exactly the type of movie I was hoping we would discover in doing this podcast. Yes, the bad ones are fun to have fun with, but this is, feels like a gem of a discovery. And it might be, guys, my favorite cryptid film. Like, it literally might be, because it has everything. It's like I said, it's a karate movie, for God's sakes. You told years ago.
Yeah.
Dan, you said, yeah. Well, Maddie, jokingly on my other podcast, The Actors Grind, you're like, well, Maddie wants to do an all karate podcast.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I was in heaven.
You know, just to show how crazy and far the podcast world has gone, 10 years ago, that was a hilarious joke because nobody could have envisioned a karate podcast. And now I guarantee you there are 12 karate podcasts.
12,000.
Yeah. Guaranteed.
That's a great point. So, yeah, I love this movie. I think it has a lot on its mind. I think it's like done really well. And Tony, you mentioned visually, like, it is so beautiful. To skip ahead a little bit, in the third act, there's a shot of... There's two shots that stood out to me. One is of the palace entryway, and the mountains are on fire behind it.
Yes. Gorgeous.
And I think that's one of the most gorgeous, like, CGI, I guess, it would have been. I don't think they set mountains on fire. But it is unbelievably stunning, where I actually paused it on my flat screen and just looked at it. And the other scene that was like that was the climactic battle between the monstrum and the guy in this room. That set with the monster in it and him with the green, you know, it was like red. There's a lot of reds and greens in this movie, and it was so stunning. Yep. The attention to artistic detail in this movie is incredible.
It's gorgeous production design, yet really well shot. And not just the big spectacle shots. I mean, there's a lot of really cool big vistas and big action sequences with impressive stuff. But even just the way that they shoot dialogue scenes and character scenes, human interactions is actually very interesting and dynamic and cool looking too. And I feel like there's just a lot of smart economical storytelling in the way that they're shooting and editing this movie. There are just so many smart choices that keep this thing spinning like a top. And there's so many characters too. There's a past that you have to learn. There's a whole lineage of the story of the characters before you meet them. Mm. And then then there's actually kind of a feint, because you are introduced to people for a while. You think they're one thing, and then it turns out they're different, something else.
Yeah.
So many different plot points and angles. And I swear I didn't get lost once, which is also compounded by the translation and having to read subtitles, which I don't mind. But, you know, oftentimes you got to see something twice if it's subtitled to really feel like you know, are getting the movie. And I just didn't feel like anything was missing without being talked down to as an audience, which I thought was pretty impressive.
Yeah. Tony, I'm surprised you have to read the subtitle. I figured you would watch it in the original Korean.
It depends on the dialect they're using. So, you know, there's a lot of different dialects. And I speak more of the, you know, the city dialects.
Makes sense.
This was not an urban tale. So
Dan, let me ask you this. With the transition from sparkles to monstrum.
Loved it.
You being the animal man. What did you think of that whole character arc and the monster itself and the treatment of the animals and all that?
Okay, time out. Let's get the name right. It's Little Sparkles. That is, I also had to rewind the movie and be like, did the old man just say
little
sparkles? And it was.
Yeah.
And it almost to the point where it's Lil, like L-I apostrophe L.
Like Lil Yachty or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Little Sebastian. There is a, I freaking loved it. I had no clue. I was jumping for delight. I actually do think that, I mean, he must have been some sort of mutated dog to begin with. And because he did, he looked like a deranged pug that had been bathing in mud all day.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved it. I love that I love that, as we've already said, we're not quite sure till about halfway through if this thing is real or not. And yes, I had to go back and look this up. This is in the annals, and apparently this, I'm again butchering it, the Jongjong, the Joseon dynasty, and King Jongjong is the longest recorded dynasty in history. It went like 700 years, and this apparently, it's written, did happen in the 1500s. And so many layers. And it's, Tony, as you were saying, it's economical, the storytelling. You've got to, you it's funny, like, you don't have to pay as much attention as you think. When the movie first starts, like, oh, I really got to learn these characters. No. The two guys you see hunting in the forest and spilling the fish porridge are the same guys that are going to be the heroes of the movie later on. It's not a spoiler. But, like, you know, there's not too many randoms. The old man, when they're all lined up, Squid Game style, to meet the tiger. What are they called? The Tiger King?
Tiger Hunters or something, yeah.
The Tiger Knights?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Something like that.
Yeah, that royal guard that's evil. Tiger Knights, Maddie, great name for a basement dojo for you.
Karate and our new band.
Yeah. when they're lined up, that's the same old man. When he comes up to him, he's like, oh, old man, you go home. And he's like, no, I have some experience raising animals. Yeah. Genius.
Yes.
You know,
and yeah. Everything's justified. We've said this before on the podcast, like every bit of mythology they bring up or every character they introduce. Now, whether you like the execution or not, fine, we can have that discussion. But what I love is that they follow through and they justify it. So that old man character knows things. And I remember thinking to myself, again, my prejudgment voice goes, how does he know all this?
Right.
They're never going to explain that. He's just going to conveniently get him out of there. But boy, do they drill down on his backstory. And Monstrum itself, we get its backstory. It follows through with every piece of mythology that they bring up.
Everything.
I love that.
Everything. The little girl obviously is the biggest one, you know, who comes back, and of course Myun. I mean, it's throughout. And while the prime minister is, you know, the classic sort of Emperor Palpatine character, right, behind
yes,
the scenes, and
right,
he's not so in your face like other villains that he's like taking over the movie and chewing up the scenery.
No, it's true.
You know,
everybody's really doing remarkably buttoned down serious work as an actor in this, yeah, in this crazy genre movie. You know, I mean, it's like you're used to seeing a lot of kind of over the top performing in some of these movies, and sometimes that works great. Like sometimes that's exactly what the movie needs.
Yep.
But there was so much suspension of disbelief they had to do with making you believe there was this monster and all these things were going on that were kind of supernatural, that they were smart enough to know, no, these characters have to be very grounded in real emotions and realistic feelings that they had. And I was really surprised at a lot of these performances. I mean, I thought that guy was great. I mean, I thought that evil character was so well portrayed. But nobody better than like the uncle, you know, the mm-hmm, kind of the comedy relief, but then there's so much pathos and heart in that guy too, you know.
Speaking of voices in your head, Maddie, I had one of those in the very beginning, and I think you guys probably did too, when they've got the sort of Laurel and Hardy routine as he's being strung up by his trap, right?
It's
and the bass clarinet, yes, the orchestration is what, yes, got me.
Yes.
It was the instrument was a bass clarinet. And I was like,
uh-oh. I had the exact same experience. And it's one of my only critiques of the film is the music choice there was just a little too on the nose, a little too, yep, silly, a little too broad. That is a style of a lot of Korean films.
Yes.
And even martial arts films. They always, yes, have that comic. But he, right, turns out to be incredible. And he turns out to be funny. And the humor, I want to talk about the humor in this movie. The,
yes,
humor used,
yes,
all along the way, like in developing a love story between Jun Gyum's daughter, who I don't know if I've been as smitten by an Asian female lead. I have to go back to Karate Kid Part 2 when he goes to Okinawa. I mean, she was just awesome and kick-ass and badass and funny. And the reason I was so invested in their love story is how funny their courtship is. the humor of him not getting her and not getting things and just so good, so a deft touch all the way around.
I want to make a distinction too, because we often say like there's, sometimes we'll say like there's funny stuff in the movie, meaning they're intentionally trying to lighten up a mood and do something comical, but it doesn't actually make you laugh, right? Mm-hmm. This actually, the stuff was, to me, legitimately funny. Like, it actually didn't just lighten the mood. I wasn't like, okay, well, this is supposed to be the light, funny part for kids or whatever. Mm-hmm. I was genuinely laughing at the way that the actors were, you know, were handling the business. I just thought
agreed.
It was great.
Totally agreed. Totally agreed.
The kid who plays Officer Her, which is the guy that she's courting, or he's courting her.
He's like, so funny.
So funny. He plays that line of, like, he's certainly like some sort of like a distinguished position, right?
Yeah.
The position of
yeah.
authority, but he's such a kid.
Yeah.
Yes. And this clueless. Girl,
clearly out of his league, but
he's like a rich kid, you know, yeah. just kind of smitten and doesn't know the streets at all.
Yes, and he can't stop himself going like, you know karate too? You can read too? You can do medicine too? He's just like in love with her. And then he doesn't get, like, there's a scene where they have this, her and her uncle, to get out of a situation. They pretend to be itching themselves.
I have this in my notes.
And then he just looks at them and goes, I'm not itchy. Like, what's going on here?
And he like tries to pretend a little bit, but he can't really, like, do it.
What are they doing? Yeah.
So it's good.
Just fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. It really, it's got such a great, you know, spark of energy to it. This movie
yes.
is like, you know, and it is one of those movies that does also make me feel like they had fun making it. I don't know why. That could be not true, but it looks like they were having a great time. Maybe they weren't.
I mean, can you make, well, I guess the answer would be yes, because they didn't exactly have a, yeah.
Can you do a movie like that and have a bad time? Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Go look at the making of The Abyss and you'll
see. The Shining.
See
I mean,
totally
yeah,
possible.
Like, yeah. Shelley Duvall had a great time. That's a great movie. But I think it would be hard to make, let me say this. I think it would be difficult to make a movie of this spirit and this humor and cheer.
Yeah.
And have a bad time. That,
I think
so. Be harder.
I think, like, part of what we're responding to is all of us are actors. We're looking at these performances and are going, like, you can't, I don't really think you can access that kind of light, fun interaction with your scene partners if it's not a good, somehow fun experience.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Maybe
yes.
I'm wrong.
I agree. No. I agree. There, sorry, guys. We're thinking about funny parts. When the monster, both the scatological stuff, isn't that, this monster, if I were to describe or pitch a movie to you guys where this, again, deranged pug grows into a giant beast that terrorizes an ancient Korean town. And then when they first meet him in his pit, it looks like the rancor pit of Tatooine, but
totally.
In Korea, he farts and throws up on them. You know, and they're like, whoa, and they wipe their... You'd think, you'd be like, nah, all right, you
I'm
might
not
have
watching
to take,
this.
Take yeah. that back to the edit room and... Rewrite.
It's like the Tickle documentary. No thanks.
But it all works. It all works.
It works enough. So I full disclosure, I could have done without.
Me too.
Literally, specifically that.
That's why I brought that
like,
up.
You know, and I think one of the things that's interesting about Korean movies is that they seem to often play for everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, they want to make movies that appeal to everybody in the world.
Great point.
Which is a hard thing to do. And a brave thing to do. So they want kids to like this movie too, even though it's full of corpses and extreme violence. Mm-hmm. There's something about it that feels like they want kids to enjoy it also. And that scene seemed like it was playing for the kids. Jurassic Park did the same thing. I didn't like it in Jurassic Park either, yeah, but it seems to be part of this dinosaur monster universe right. we have now where they've got to have poop in it.
And as we kind of come towards the latter half of our review of this film here, I think it's a great time to interject because you mentioned, Tony, the gore of this film, and we never said what our top three tonight's going to be in a few minutes coming up here.
Right.
Inspired by this film, would you share with us what our top three category will be this evening?
Are you asking me or Dan?
Me? Well, you know what? Huge mistake. I went to ask you, but I should be asking the host. Dan, I apologize.
Given that you only gave me this topic like half an hour ago, Maddie, I had very little time to prepare, but it's the top three body ripped apart moments in history. I did my best.
You're being so cool about this, Dan.
I came up, I did my best. Are we going right to that there, or are we still
a
little sparkle?
No, I'm throwing it in there as a little as we come to the home stretch here of our review.
Yeah. Because it has something to do with the incredible amount of gore and violence in this film.
Because we spent.
Oh, yeah.
57 minutes doing role play games in the beginning of this episode.
Thought those were theater games. What is this role play game?
We did an Orson Welles radio bit.
we're professional theater act, showbiz people, role playing games.
Sorry, an extended improv.
I liked how the old man, when he's telling the story, sent him down a river to save the baby, a la Moses.
Moses.
Bible.
Mm. Good call, Dan.
I had to throw that in. It was in my notes. I don't know how many more times I'm going to be invited back. Oh, I mean, you guys will be invited onto my podcast.
We'll be together again. Come on.
But just in case it's my last time with you three, three, I'm counting that Maddie's dog and Tony's cats are really five.
My boys.
You boys. Yeah, I wanted to get that
That's
in there.
That's a great one. Well, speaking of deeper themes, I think this film did. It's so funny. It was made in 2018, I think.
Yeah.
So before COVID. But boy, they literally say at right, they go, they say, they talk about using tragedy, a pandemic, if you will, this disease that the animal is carrying and that's going through this to their political advantage, to their political gain, and using it to control people and things like that. I'm going, boy.
Bro, I described this movie to my wife, trying to entice her to watch it with me. It was a hard no, because she hates horror movies. But I was like, listen, I'm describing it. She's like, oh, the plague. Oh, that's timely. Thinking it had just come out, right?
Right.
And yeah, no.
That was really crazy, yeah. Because the way they treat it in the movie, the plague is a completely separate issue for a while,
right?
They don't really connect it with Monstrum, and there's this plague, and then there's this creature that's killing a lot of people.
Oh, but Tony, but then the monster creates the plague, right? That's the crazy. It all just kind of comes full circle.
Well, I guess so. Chicken or the egg? Because they do say that that Monstrum feeds off the corpses of plague-ridden bodies, and that's why he carries
the plague in him. Yes, and something else this movie that does, not to get too Ebert-y, but you know, I did notice that scene I mentioned, the battle, the monster and the guy, there's a lot of opulence around that bloody creature, and fights happen in these very opulent environments. And I think this movie wanted to say a lot about, you know, men of power using their power for nefarious means to try to control the people. And so that juxtaposition of like the blood and guts and the beautiful palaces around them, I thought was really shrewd, because you could have had those fights anywhere and probably done it much cheaper. Definitely have done it much cheaper.
Well, that's really cool thematically too, to me, because like, you know, the imagery of Monstrum, who, you know, it's a monster movie for sure. And it's paranormal and all that, but it's of the ilk more of like, it's got a little bit of Mighty Joe Young in it. Or Gorgo, where Monstrum can't help it. Monstrum is an evil. They're not telling us really that it's an evil thing, because it actually saves, kind of, in a way, you could think of it as saving the day in a weird way. And the images of it in the temple or in the castle, you know, hanging out where the emperor usually hangs out.
Yeah.
It's a very powerful image when you have the villagers at the gates trying to get in, and the symbol of that revolution basically being that this thing is actually in the main castle. It's a very powerful kind of image about revolution, really.
Yes.
You know? And times are changing. You know?
And if I may go to our host and Puppy Bowl ref, who is very involved with fostering animals and did an incredible Puerto Rican rescue program with dogs. Dan, I'm looking at you. There's a definite theme here, because Tony, you mentioned the monster. It can't help it. Yes, it can't help it. Not only that, we created it through its neglect.
Yeah.
You know, men of power fighting created this monster.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, we have this, you know, I think that was a theme too of like what happens to animals. And I couldn't help think of your rescue, Dan, with those puppies, because people just something that was caused by the world situation, these poor little animals are left in the lurch, right?
Yeah, man, great. That's an awesome tie-in. We thank you. No, in all seriousness, that's wow. You really brought me, you really legitimized my purpose on this.
Good.
Yeah, it is. It's man-made issues.
Yeah.
They really
it's
are.
It's got a Frankenstein myth. It's definitely got like that.
Got a little King Kong.
Shakespearean.
King Kong. Yes, I thought of Tony because that's his favorite movie.
Very King Kong. One of my favorites. Yeah, definitely got a lot of that DNA in it. And Godzilla. Yeah. I mean, it really does pay proper respect to all the earlier versions of this story. I think
I want to ask you guys a real serious question. Two things, actually, and I do always respect your opinions on this. Maddie, what, how accurate, strong, well was the martial arts part executed? And Tony, CGI, what did you think of it, and how did it hold up?
I'll go first with the martial arts. Incredible. And I'll tie in even some CGI to that answer, yeah, because I don't know if it was quite CGI necessarily, but there's a kind of a steady cam tracking shot during one of the kind of like Bushido sword fights that has a definite style that I've not really seen before and only lasts for maybe 2 minutes. And I thought it was really kind of stunning. But in terms of just the fight choreography, A plus. This is as good as it gets. These guys knew exactly what they're doing. The camera doesn't go too crazy. Other than that one scene, I can see what's going on. I can see the fighting. A plus, 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 plus. Loved it.
And on that same subject, it's really cool to see a movie with that level of martial arts, mm-hmm, with wire work and all the stuff you classically see in martial arts movies, being used to tell a story that's not just about two badasses who's bad or an ass. And I thought that made the fights even better because they were about something. A lot of the times it's just, you know, two camps fighting each other and may the best man win kind of story. And I'm less into that than seeing it supporting something else, you know.
And the style I studied was a Chinese-based martial art, Shaolin Chunfa, in close fighting. And there's a scene where he breaks off an arrow.
The arrow. So yeah, cool. The end.
Holds off like six guys with just in close stabbing. And then he does like an arm step over, breaks a guy's arm. I'm like, this is so good. This is just, it was candy to me. I just ate it up.
He also snaps that guy's neck quite quick. Yeah, that was a nice job of that.
It was quiet too.
He's really great, you know, and that guy sold that character, mm-hmm, so well, and sold the transition from kind of a goofy, kind of a bumbling character who lived in the woods and couldn't catch a fish, mm-hmm, to this. Mm-hmm. And you really bought that this was the same, both him and the uncle, that were the same person. So yeah
there's even some foreshadowing there, because he goes, I was close to him in martial arts,
yeah,
and I was second best.
He's second best. The dog goes, yeah, right. And then as you watch the movie, you go, oh no, he was serious.
he really was. And I think that it being dark, a lot of the shots being so dark helped the CGI not feel more real. But I want to know what you guys think about the monster, the CGI monster.
Well, from my perspective, you know, it's, I don't even want to, it's not my favorite thing about the movie. I'll divide it. I think the design is great. Yeah. I think the actual art direction and design of it, of the creature, is fantastic. I don't love the CGI execution the whole time, but I never do. So I think they do as good a job as anybody's doing with this stuff.
Got it.
Really. Yeah. I just don't always respond to this style of creature in this way. It always ends up to me feeling like they move a little too fast for their size, a little too agile. And when you combine that with camera work that works in the fighting sequences, see, the wire work and the swooping camera work really sells that, but it doesn't help me suspend my disbelief about the size and scope of that creature. And I feel like if the camera work had been less elegant when dealing with him, it might have helped sell it a little bit more. But that's very nitpicky. I think they did an excellent job with the kinds of effects they have at their disposal today. I prefer more handmade in-camera stuff, but they're never, you can't really do that with this with scope of a movie that they're trying to do. So I'll say this, I believe that character. So they did a great job in me believing that he had a soul and was feeling things, and I felt for him. So in that way, they did great. When he's fighting and attacking, it's a spectacle, but it's just sometimes a little bit just too much for me. Like, I'm like, it gets into the Transformers territory where I'm like, I just seeing pixels flying around and
totally agree with Tony on that. I can't stand giant CGI monsters. I hate the Hulk, you know, all those type of movies. It just takes me out of it. And in this movie, it's not much better. Technically, mm-hmm. But again, I agree with Tony. The design of the creature is awesome, and I'll tell you this: I would rather watch this film and those scenes 1,000 times over than anything Marvel's doing. Agreed. Any of those Iron Man, any of the Spider-Man bullshit,
100%
for
me now.
So much better than that.
Yeah.
I knew you guys would give me polished, beautiful answers. And this is why I love being on with you guys. All kidding aside, because I get to ask the questions that I wonder as I listen to you guys. I wanted your take on CGI. And you've brought up CGI in the past, but I wanted a dissection because I think we're all in agreement that no matter how effing advanced CGI is at that moment in time, 10, 20 years from now, we're going to look back on it and be like, looks crude.
Which we see happening now. You look back 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you can see seams and the wires, crappy. Just like you can with any effect. And I tend to feel like, and the reason I like practical effects and in-camera effects more generally is because the lighting will be affecting that real thing in the room just as it affects the actors. So if they feel like they're in the same space, they are in the same space, and the actors have a chance to actually interact with something that is... in front of them, the way that they did in, for instance, The Thing, John Carpenter's The Thing, where all those creatures were in the room, practical, and it's just as horrific in the room as they are in the movie. And I think actors get something out of that. Do you all have a favorite scene? I'm just curious, because I definitely have like a
favorite
scene.
What you got, Tony? I want to hear your... Tony. Yeah, I want to hear
I'm in love with the scene where the king comes back to the little village and meets with his old friend, the guard, our hero. And says and apologizes, basically, gives him the sword. I think he gives him a sword in that scene. But it's just a quiet scene. They're in his hut, and the light streaming through. It looks a lot like a Tarantino movie. It looks a little bit like Kill Bill at that point. It's absolutely stunning. And they're so like his old guard is kneeling before him, and the king is just kind of like quietly telling him the truth behind what happened, you know, and said like if I hadn't kicked you out, you'd be dead. Now you can help me. And that I just thought was a perfect example of where this movie just freaking wins. Cause for me, the best scene is just two guys in a room talking to each other.
Yeah. Beautiful.
And so I love that.
Mine, Danny, was probably the kind of payoff culmination of the love story between Yoon's daughter, who's just this kick-ass. Anytime she's on camera is my favorite scene, is the short answer, but there's a scene when she and her love interest, the young bumbling boy who we've talked about before, he's in a death moment with the bad guy. And she says to him, basically, do you remember this one thing between us? And it's code for him to make a certain move. And she uses her arrow in that moment. And then they have a moment where I got a little lump in my throat for this crazy, cryptid movie. And it just so works. I just loved it. I adore this movie.
With another Cupid reference, like another reference to ancient mythology there.
Bingo.
That was cool.
The arrow, yes.
Yeah, the arrows.
Yeah. Wow. How about you, Dan? Favorite scene?
No joke. I had so many. I was kind of scrolling through my notes as I... All right. I love that the flaming arrows from these tiger knights as they're shooting it into the cavern is what wakes the monster.
Beautiful.
In other words, there's no like, yes, there were other points in the movie where he kind of comes out of nowhere, ducks, does ex machina, and kind of appears out of nowhere, out of random. But in this case, I loved him being stirred by that. And I also love the way they shot it because I thought it was beautiful. With that, they're hanging on the cliff. You guys know the part. They're hanging by the rope on the cliff.
So good.
It's beautiful. Yeah. It's beautiful. Great
that
choice.
Cliff, that whole set piece of the cliff and the chasm beneath it and the dead that had been strewn there. It's really amazing looking.
It was beautiful. And the fact that it's so quickly... If I pitch this movie, you might be like, it's too obvious that this would be this underground lair that leads directly to under the palace. It's all right. It all works.
They make it work. They sell it to you by the end. Because I remember going like, oh, really? Okay, well, we'll see. No, they did enough to explain to me and make it work, you know. And let's be honest. Let's not sell this the wrong way. This is like a popcorn movie. This is a big, fun, action-filled, crazy movie with a family-friendly center and some crazy violence. But it's a popcorn movie.
And a family-friendly ending that, again, think what you want about it, they justify it. And I won't spoil it, but there's a happy ending twist, and you kind of go, how could that have happened? And then they kind of answer your inner voice, because right before the credits, they answer, how did that happen? And he goes, well, here's how it happened in a flashback. So... good on them. They thought of everything. You know?
Last thing I'll say too is the sound design is absolutely phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
Mind-blowingly
sounds
good.
Sounds great. You're right. All right. So we've heaped praise on it, but we've heaped praise on films before, and then one of us said, but it's not good enough to get on the shelf. It doesn't get the P for Paranormal. So we're going to start with our host,
okay,
Dan Schachner.
Well,
Poppy Bowl Ref, does this get a P for Paranormal? It's going on our shelf. It's a keeper, or P for Pass? No thanks.
I think because of how it has such wide appeal, it clicks many boxes. It's a story that us, even jaded, film viewers can appreciate. I think it gets the P, and it's certainly paranormal. I think we get the P for Paranormal. That's just one man's opinion.
Anthony, guest of podcast.
Thank you, guest of podcast. I'm going to give it a P for Paranormal. Not to make too much of this, but like, how do we decide what goes on the shelf? I don't know how to take my great experience and then intellectualize my way out of putting it on a shelf. That doesn't work for me. I mean, if it wasn't paranormal, then I'd be like, well, as a technicality, it can't be there. But
right.
I think that it completely accomplished what it set out to do. It is the movie it wants to be. And I took it at its face value and enjoyed the hell out of it. And I want to give it a P for Paranormal.
You just hit on something I want to bring up before I give my vote. And that is, because that's perfect, we talk about the paranormal worthiness of a film. And another thing this movie did that I put in my notes and forgot to mention is when I compare it to a cryptid, it does such a good job at dealing with how people can believe in these things and say, I saw it.
Yes. And yeah, exactly.
It's that very big. It's a Bigfoot movie in a lot of ways.
And it feels believable how they're reacting to it. I also loved in that regard, the medieval forensics that they're doing.
Yes.
Like the medieval crime scene stuff
is
great.
We forgot about the CSI in the emergency room. And she called herself a lady doctor. I'm so good.
I was buying it. Like I was literally sitting there buying the whole thing. So yeah.
Find me a rat, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to give my vote now. Do I give this a P for Paranormal or do I give it a P for Pass? I'm going to tell you my vote right after this quick word from our sponsor. I can't live with or without you. Bono, the bone for your dog. Go to bono.com. Guys, I'm giving this a rated P for Paranormal. It's going on the shelf.
Yay.
I absolutely love this movie. I want to shout it from the mountaintops. I want more people to see this film. I love it. Like I said, it might be my favorite cryptid film right now.
Yay.
That's awesome.
I'm very happy.
Inspired by this film, why don't we look at our top three? Top three ripped or torn apart torsos in film history.
Top three ripped apart people in movies.
This is so great. Who wants to start? Why don't we let our host start?
Sure.
Danny?
Again, just not making excuses, but the first time, when we did Pet Sematary first time, I didn't even know what the topic of the three was until the recording of the podcast.
Yes.
I had to wing it. This time I had about a half an hour's warning, so that's enough time to do a quick search.
We'll take one, we'll take two, we'll take three, we'll take whatever.
I've got 14. No, okay. Here we go. I mentioned King Kong on purpose, Tony, because there's a scene in, I love the original King Kong
as well.
And talk about CGI, the stop motion effect, it's incredible. It's I have to imagine how terrorizing that must have seemed in 1933.
Oh my god, it must have just been beyond belief.
Right, and when the man, he's in New York, this is the first thing, this is the legit first thing that came to mind, body ripped apart. When he's in New York on the streets and the people are running in terror, he picks up a man with his mouth and he chews on him for a little while and spits him out. Stands to reason the man was ripped apart.
Yeah.
But, and I always found it, I used to watch the movie with my dad, and it was really funny. Like, why would he spit the guy out? Did he, did he not taste good, or was there some issue? Was he just not? Is he just full? Is he not hungry? But the guy's clearly dead. Anyway, so I have that King Kong, and
all right, we'll take that as your number three.
Got it.
Okay, I'll go next.
We'll go round robin.
Oh, that's how it works. My bad.
Yes. No, that's fine. You're just the host. How would you know?
Wow. cake.
I'm going to go, Tony, my Lefestra? Number three.
Hey, what's up? What, you're listening? And?
How's it going?
Which one? The one with the hat? The one with the hat or the guy with lives in the karate studio?
Come on, baby. Come on, baby.
Marty? Okay, I'll let him know.
God damn it.
Go on, guys. Sorry.
Everything, Marty, you can go.
Everything Thank okay?
You. We're good, Maddie.
You sure?
I thought I'm the guy with a hat. Like, it's a baseball. I'm wearing, just for you out there, I'm wearing a baseball hat. It's like not.
It's pretty weird.
For you listeners, it's not.
It's sending me clear.
More like a derby.
It's sending me a clear message. I need to see a movie called Sender.
Okay. My number three is a movie that I thought we reviewed here on the podcast, but we did not. I watched it because of another movie we reviewed, and I freaking thought it was one of the weirdest and funniest and craziest experiences I've ever had. And it's Hellraiser. Frank, the character in Hellraiser, gets torn apart by hooks.
Whoa.
And at the end, but then right as he's about to get finally torn apart in half or split up apart by the hooks, he looks at the girl as his face is literally getting ripped by the hooks, and he goes, ah, does this like sexual tongue thing to her, and I burst out laughing. It's just so ridiculous. That's my number three.
Just so you know, that wasn't sexual in any way to me, what I just saw. So
me neither.
Just to make a note of it. I didn't find that.
Nope.
I hope our sponsors weren't offended. Tony, you're number three.
My number three comes from the non-paranormal movie The Hitcher, starring Rutger Hauer and C. Thomas Howell. I saw this in the theater when I was a teenager, and it stayed with me.
Someone's getting ripped
There's
apart.
There's some
in the
fighting
streets.
Outside yeah. on the streets of in Brooklyn, man.
He's not the, Guys, that's not the Brooklyn I know.
Tony's acting out the movie we're seeing right now. Keep yeah. going.
Did you just Jennifer, see that? My wife just came in my studio and scared the out of me because I saw her in the camera. You step in. Go ahead. Say hi to the
wow.
guy. Wow. I literally thought there was a...
How are you?
Good. How are you?
What is this?
Hi, Colleen.
Lemonade.
Is this a lemonade? Or... Oh, it's like
it's a frozen lemonade.
Oh.
So...
That sure is a delicious lemonade from Chick-fil-A.
I'm not Good complaining job. About this seems a little staged.
Just go to Chick-fil-A.com. And order yours today. That's Chick-fil-A.com.
You know, this is why this should be a video podcast as well, because he's literally holding, guys, a Chick-fil-A lemonade in his hand right now. It does look good.
I'm taking lactaid right now, just so you know.
Oh, all right. TMI.
Please, let's not put that on the show.
Hang on. Let me just text them real fast, see if they like it. I'm tweeting lactaid. Hang on. Let's see. Oh, yeah. No, they're interested, Maddie.
Animals are lactose intolerant, too. Sometimes
oh, yeah. we have a whole series
me,
on that.
Call me an animal.
You know it.
Hmm. Okay. Moving on. What number are we on?
Two.
You just pulled the planes, trains, and automobiles. When he goes, how cold do you think it is? One. Okay. Who did the last one?
Well,
holy
crap. Oh, we're on number two. All right. I gotcha. Well, Tony,
it's you, Danny.
I love you. You stole my thunder, but that only makes me feel prouder
the
of
hitcher,
my choice.
The Hitcher was yours?
So, you know, there's two. You, of course, you know. There's the remake and then the
yes.
Jennifer Jason Leigh one.
Yes.
So, yeah. So, Chained to the Semi. I'm actually ashamed. I have not seen the 1986 version.
It's good.
In the remake, yeah, it's the guy who's chained to the trucks.
Oh, okay. Yeah, in this one, it's Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Oh, that's funny. I had it down and I had seen this because I got teenagers who love these kinds of films.
Right.
So the girl is pointing the gun at his head and, you know, he's like, go ahead, fire it right here. You know,
there it is. Yeah.
But yeah, and he's ripped apart. But in the 07 version, it is shown with every last
oh,
detail.
Oh, see, I haven't seen the 07. I've only seen the 86 one. And that one from 86 doesn't show you anything. You hear it.
And wow. it cuts away. Yeah.
But it's plenty vivid enough in your mind. So that was pretty disturbing for me. That's my number three.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fantastic. My number three is, it might be Two. Splitting hairs, but he's not really torn apart. He's chopped apart in half.
Mm.
And that is a scene I'll never forget. I saw it way too young, as is a theme on this podcast. Television was my inappropriate babysitter, apparently, but it was, I think it was late night on TV or something. Maybe we had a VHS copy. It was Damien Omen 2. There's a scene in an elevator where the doctor gets on the elevator and the elevator tower, a terror style, starts falling. and then it stops and you think he's okay, but the cable, Tony's nodding, he remembers, the cable comes down and he's like getting up because he's like, oh, phew, I survived the elevator falling. And the cable just literally rips him in half. His body just rips in half and they show him going like, oh, looking at his lower torso split in half.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic.
That's there's a lot of elevator movies like that. Der Lift, which we actually talked about, has that in it.
And lost the file.
Yeah.
Der Lift. We'll have to revisit that.
Yeah.
Is that a good movie? Should I watch Der Lift?
Oh, definitely watch Der Lift. It's hilarious. It's great.
All right. Thank you.
Double bill that with Amsterdammed, which is the other movie that guy made, and they're both great.
All right, done. First the Tickle documentary, and now Der Lift. I got so many wrecks from this.
Be very careful what movies
you watch. Lightly.
Yeah.
Will do. Noted.
Tony.
Yes,
number
sir.
Number two? Are we on number two? Your number one?
Number two, I would believe that would be Dan's number two, yes?
Well, that was, So I've done.
I'm all confused.
Yeah, just to recap, I've done King Kong and The Hitcher because I had The Hitcher as well.
Oh, that's why. Okay, so
I had
number
the 07.
Two.
Yeah, yeah.
I've done two. Tony, have you done two?
No, my number two is a new discovery for me. I recently just saw a movie called Superstition, which is, I think, from 83 or something like that. Hmm. It's a slasher, supernatural horror slasher ghost movie that has a reputation. I'd never seen it before, and I just checked it out, and it's pretty goofy, but it's also fantastic and some of the best kills I've ever seen in a movie. Just the most inventive, crazy murders that happen in it. In the very opening of the movie, these two kids are scaring people and they're creeping around a fake haunted house. They're pretending to be ghosts and scare other people. And then they get attacked by an entity. One of them gets their head severed and put into a microwave and then it explodes. And the other one tries to get out of a window on the top floor and he gets stuck. And the window casing comes down and cuts him right in half.
Oh, my God.
And his torso falls to the ground and his legs are in the house. I mean, and it's great because it's really cheap, but they really sell it.
Give me the name one more time of it.
Superstition.
Superstition. Got it. All right. Check that out. Fantastic. Wow. So now I think we're at Dan's number one, correct? Superstition.
I hope this one counts, fellas. I love the movie. I loved your guys' review of the movie. It's the chestburster in Alien.
Okay.
He's ripped apart. I think we can all agree.
Yep.
Because I was like, well, is he really
mangled? He's very mangled by the experience.
Safe to say the top and the bottom of his body are not properly joined together after that. But, John Hurt playing the victim in that movie is just incredible. I love the story behind it, which is that Ridley Scott kept the actors in the dark about what was about to happen so that the reaction you see in the movie is their actual reaction to this puppet Fantastic. Bursting out of the guy's stomach. And
yeah, I think their reaction technically was actually about the blood because they knew the rig.
Right.
They knew something was going to come out and they read the script, but they had no idea that he was going to shoot like 30 gallons of blood at them in their face.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just makes my day. Great choices, Dan. My
nice
number one.
one
of all time is the great Michael Ironsides, who we've talked about on this podcast before, who never gives a bad performance, always up for the task, always over the top in the best possible way. Michael Ironsides in Starship Troopers gets eaten as he's getting pulled into a pit by one of these creatures and right in half. So he's only an upper torso at that point. His legs are gone. He's completely torn in half. And he looks at the kid and he goes, "You know what to do." I just love it. Starship Troopers there's about 100 people that get torn apart in that film. But
yeah, it's a lot of shredding and ripping. A
lot of shredding. And I think it's a nod to Jaws a little bit in the way he gets chopped in half. It's very similar how Quint was on the edge of the boat and gets bitten in half. He gets chopped in half. So, yeah, great.
Fantastic. My number one for me is pretty much the granddaddy. I don't think it can really actually technically be topped. Rhodes' death in Day of the Dead, very last thing that happens in the movie, actor Joseph Pilato is trying to escape Bub, the intelligent zombie, and he runs into an elevator and meets a lot of zombies. And one of the last things that happens, one of the last shots in the movie, is they literally pull him apart, a bunch of them got his legs and a bunch of them got his torso, and they just start pulling, and in one shot, one master shot, you just see him screaming and he just separates. It is rough and just never really been topped. Really, that, it's great.
That's, you're right. That's the memorial. And that's the second time that's happened with our top three, that a scene was on the tip of my brain and I could not access what movie it was. I go, somewhere someone gets just like literally ripped apart.
Yeah,
like,
that's
in
that's
all
the,
different directions. And
that's the real famous, famous
it was
one.
Day of the Dead. Yes. Of
yeah.
Course. Wow. Great.
And that's a
one.
That's a really great movie. It's not as discussed as the other two Romero zombie movies or other five Romero zombie movies, but I think it's my favorite one now. It's really worth checking out if you haven't seen it. It's weird. It's like a Stanley Kubrick kind of vibe to it in a way.
Writing it down. Thank you once again.
All right. So, Tony, next week.
Any honorables? Sorry. Long show.
Yeah. Pretorius and Crawford from Beyond, a movie we just reviewed where he literally pops out of his stomach.
He rips himself apart.
And then he rips himself apart. Yeah,
that's true.
There we go.
I'm going to give honorable mention to shout out to my pops movie, Catch 22, back from 1968. He doesn't get ripped in half, but it's one of the most shocking effects in a movie. And it happens in the distance, but you see a rotary plane fly over this this beach, and somebody's out on a dock, and the plane goes like right over the water, right over this person, and the prop just cuts his torso off.
Oh my
and
God.
You see the person's legs standing there for a second, and then they just flop into the water. It is to this day an effect I don't know how the hell that they did back then.
Right.
Like, they could only CGI that now today, really. I don't know how they did it. It's really amazing and terrifying.
Catch 22 is soon to be beverage available by your brother, correct?
Almost Batch 22.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, play on the name though, right?
You know, actually it's not. I was surprised. I thought it was too. I asked him, but he said no, it was the recipe was the 22nd attempt at making the recipe for this liquor flavor that they were looking for.
Oh my God.
And they nailed it on the 22nd go round.
That's fate.
They're launching it like the next couple weeks.
All right, well, we'll plug the hell out of that when it's available.
Hell yeah.
I'm going to have to run that sponsored by the powers that be. But
sure, they don't maybe like to do alcohol.
Is there,
stuff
last question, is there an animal version of it for dogs? Because there could be, right? We could probably
get that. Matthew, get back in the lab.
We'll call it, if it'll be for female dogs, we'll call it Bitch 22.
Oh my God.
Perfect. All right, so say no more, fam.
That's it. That's the show.
Well, you really have got good
and that's
puns.
The final show that we'll ever get to do.
Thank you, Tony. It was great being a guest with you, and thank you to our host, Dan Schachter.
Looking forward to having you back, Maddie.
Next week's movie. Do you want to do Carrie?
You have to. As a fan, let me just please. That's so perfect.
Dan mentioned it, and I haven't seen it in years. Tony, are you okay with that, with Carrie?
Are you kidding me right now?
I can't tell if he's being serious.
He's serious. Absolutely. Carrie, where have you been all my life on this show, Carrie? Let's do it.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you. This was just a blast.
Guys, a pleasure. If every, I don't know, what, 3-4 months, I could just pitch Maddie a couple of animal horror supernatural movies. You guys can humor me for one day. It would make my life.
Let's do it. We're doing it. Let's record tomorrow. Let's just do it.
No, seriously, thanks, guys. An honor, as always. Thank you.
Dan, awesome.
Ooh.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Rated P for Paranormal. Please rate, review, and share. It really does make a difference. For more information, to participate, and even donate, go to our main page, anchor.fm/ratedparanormal. On social media, we're at Rated Paranormal. All music is by Andrew Goldens Jr. You can find him on Instagram at KidRiga, or go to therocketscience.bandcamp.com. This podcast was created, written, produced, and edited by Maddie Blake and Anthony Arkin.
Thankfully, there's Woofestra. This twice daily anal suppository is all your pooch needs to conquer kids.
All I even needed is something like this.
Bono. If your dog's hungry and wants better mouth health, then get Bono.